For me, the bigger issue is back sweat anyway. So, like...
Well, I can tell you, this chair is not helping with that.
I'm sure it's not.
I mean, you could go back
to
your chair.
There is the less sweaty chair directly behind you.
You know, in the proper recording, I might swap just because, oof. We still got the candle going, though.
It's true.
That's not helping with the heat either. Open flame here in our podcasting studio?
That's right. Well, I mean, everything we do is open flame because it's all flames.
What?
Do I sound not like a 30-year-old man yet?
To our listeners, if you hear an odd sound in the background, it's because we have the AC running. Because it's like 100 billion degrees outside today, and if you got an issue with it, piss off. We're really hot
off.
And already cranky enough because I'm having to watch this bullshit movie. Hi, I'm Josh. I'm an analyst here in Nashville, and I'm not as good as the first one, and the first one wasn't great.
Hi, I'm Rick Fox. I'm an author here in Nashville, and I could have been in the Doctor Who 50th special, but I chose to do this shit instead.
Who?
Eccleston.
Brian, who are you?
I'm a weird parking lot where shit happens.
I'm Caleb. I'm an analyst here in Nashville, and I'm a spaceship that looks like a sword.
And we're opinionated.
And tonight we're watching Thor the Dark World. Thor the Dark World came out in 2013. It has a 66 on Rotten Tomatoes. It was directed by Alan Taylor and written by Christopher L. Yost and Christopher Marcus. It stars Chris Hemsworth, Natalie Portman, Tom Hiddleston, Stellan Skarsgård, Anthony Hopkins, Christopher Eccleston, and Idris Elba, and many others.
When the Dark Elves attempt to plunge the universe into darkness, Thor must embark on a perilous and personal journey that will reunite him with Dr. Jane Foster for about 15 minutes.
What was the rating of the last one?
Thor 1. No, not Thor 2. I specifically said 1.
Just four, say Thor.
1. No, because then it's like, oh,
you went to watch the new one.
77. So this is the new one. Thor Dark World is 11 points lower than Thor 1.
That feels about right, but I also don't think Thor 1 deserves it up in the 70s.
Yeah, that's
fair. It goes from 77 to 66.
Yeah.
Suspicious.
I don't remember anything about this movie except for that it's boring and bad and I hate it.
I remember it being dark red a lot of the time.
Yep.
Well, they introduced that dumb ether stuff, right?
Yeah.
And Natalie Portman gets bit by it.
I don't remember. I genuinely think I might have fallen asleep in this movie because I actually remember. The only thing I can remember about this movie is that I get it confused with the second newer Star Trek movie. And I don't know why that is because I don't remember anything about this movie.
The ether turns out to be one of the stones from the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, later on, but yeah. I feel like they start that. She gets bit by it somehow, and then
something
they
like
finally
that.
Make something out of it later.
Yeah.
You guys are being like something, there's an ether and something.
Yeah,
it's
magic
kind
and
of
science.
Stupid in the first place.
Like, do you guys remember anything about this?
I remember there's the part where Thor says he's fought bigger things, and then he blows a golem's head off with his hammer, and that was pretty cool.
Okay.
And then I remember there's the part where like the Dark Elf ships actually show up, and they do a one over on Asgard pretty solid. I think one of their ships even lands in the throne room. And there's the only other thing I can remember is the climax where I think there's some stupid black tornado thing.
Yeah, there is a big weird black tornado thing.
Like Stranger Things.
Sure.
I also haven't seen that. So
there's a black tornado.
Well, I hear it's good, but.
It's all right.
Okay.
You didn't have the childhood of watching good movies, so you won't enjoy any of the references.
Yeah, I did. I got to watch Old Yeller.
So what is your
What
is your favorite second Marvel movie in any of the series as they've introduced?
Probably Avengers.
Like second
of the ones
four
that like
movies,
turned
second
in,
Hulk, second
yeah, the ones that turned
probably
into
Captain
Avengers.
America. Winter Soldier was
Winter
really
Soldier
good.
Winter Soldier
yeah,
does
Winter
slap.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
So the Avengers as a group doesn't count. Like the second Avengers. Doesn't
yeah,
count.
I
mean
just the individual
sucks, so.
Narratives.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you nailed it. I think that's the answer. Yeah. Most of them are
Iron Man 2, dog shit. Thor 2, dog shit.
If we count Avengers as the second Hulk movie, then maybe that one. But we don't.
No, we don't.
So you're correct. The correct answer is Captain America Winter Soldier. That's just objectively probably the best one.
Although, don't they introduce the stupid flying aircraft carriers in that one?
No, that comes in Avengers.
You mean S.H.I.E.L.D.? Aircraft carriers?
I mean, those are big in the Avenger universe.
Yeah.
I feel like that was the first time we saw them, though.
No, like, the first time we see him in movie. No, in movies, the first time we see him is the first Avengers movie, because it's a big plot point where they're trying to, like, save one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Because, like, Thor and Hulk are, like,
battling it out.
Rampaging
and, like,
through
Loki's,
it.
Loki's, you know, mind-controlled Hawkeye, and he's running around doing stuff. Mm-hmm. So.
Spider-Man 2, the one with Mysterio?
Yes.
Yeah, I wasn't as into that
one. It's not a great one. It's okay. Spider-Man 2
is
it's bigger than most 2s.
So meta.
Yeah. Spider-Man 2.
All right, we're padding because we don't know shit about this movie, and also we're
we
want to
watch
cranky.
Any of these other movies than this one.
Yeah, if you want us to watch the new Barbie that. Movie. Guys, I guess we'll be back after watching this movie. Oh, gosh. I just, they like, IMDb just showed a little clip of it, and this is the one where Tom Hiddleston, like, looks
pretend all- dies, or?
No, I feel like
he does that.
I feel like this
feel
is the
like
one where he
movies.
Turned into, like, the Tumblr.
Yeah, pretty much.
Tumblr boy.
Well, no, I mean, he was Tumblr boy from, like, Zon.
The Tumblr boy?
Wasn't this before
no,
Avengers?
This is after Avengers.
What's the Tumblr boy?
They captured it, Loki. That's a big plot.
I don't
where,
know
like,
either.
He's just, like, sitting hot, angsty boy, and Tumblr goes nuts for him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fair.
But,
is Tumblr even still a thing right now?
I don't know. I only know of it.
I think it died when they took the porn off.
The vast majority of it died.
No, I think the vast majority of it died because the vast majority of it was porn bots and everybody yeah. that was like, yeah, we just like write our blogs and like have little in jokes with each other.
No, I think that's like three people. I think the rest of them were porn,
I don't
yeah,
know,
porn people.
Anyway, we'll be back after watching this movie. Before we go, Rick. Is you're writing your second book.
I am writing my second book.
Is
third
it,
book. I'm writing my third
when
book.
When you compare, is it better? Like the follow-up of Thor 2 to Thor 1. How is your second book following up your first?
Well, I'm about 60,000 words in, so we'll say roughly 33% in first draft mode, and I've been redoing the first ones, like kind of going over them, re-editing them, and I really like my first four chapters a lot, to be honest.
What's the title of this one?
This one will be Wisdom's Fist.
All right, guys, well, if you want to read Wisdom's Fist, you can't. He hasn't finished writing it yet, but you can still go read Fate's Pawn. It's available on Amazon in paperback and e-reader forms. Go check that out so that you're all caught up before this new book launches.
Yeah.
Additionally, if you enjoy the podcast and want to help support us, you can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/opinionated. For as little as a buck a month, you get all sorts of bonus content, including first impressions, listener requests, and you get to listen to stuff about a week early, sometimes longer than that, because it kind of just depends on when we get to edit it, but... around a week early. So definitely go check that out. Patreon.com/opinionated. Guys, we'll be back in just a minute after we're finished watching Thor: The Dark World.
After all this time, now you come to visit me, brother. Why? To mock.
I need your help. But I wish I could trust you.
If you did, you'd be the fool I always took you for.
We don't have a sponsorship deal yet. We have a business inquiry in our email that has been sitting there for a week that we haven't responded to yet.
It's been there for a week?
It's been there for 5 days.
Oh, okay. I'll have to.
But none of us
to that
check
tonight.
It. But we only yeah. check it randomly.
You're the only one who checks it, to be honest.
Exactly. So.
You should have it forwarded to your main account.
No,
man, you're a savage that doesn't check their personal email very often.
No, I check my personal email multiple times a day.
You've changed.
Yeah.
It's his text messages he ignores.
I don't even do that anymore either. I read them. And then I tell Sarah to respond for us.
Yeah.
One of the perks of being married.
I've done that.
Honey, Robin is asking us a question on behalf of Rick.
And
can you understand on behalf of me?
And for some reason, you didn't just go directly to each other.
Exactly. Oh, man.
This movie's boring.
This movie is a chore to stay awake through.
I wouldn't go
well,
that
you
far.
Were all, I would kind of go that far, but weren't you also tired beforehand?
Yeah, you're just sleepy. You're always sleepy.
Yeah, but I blame that on the knowledge that I knew we were watching Thor Dark World today.
this is not
That's
the worst movie
I'm
we've
sleepy.
Even watched like
Snooze
recently.
World. Got him.
What?
This is not even the worst movie we've watched like recently. Thor 1 was worse than this movie.
No.
Yeah.
I think so.
Thor 1 had exactly one thing going for it. It was Thor. Well, okay, I'll put Loki
in
there.
All right, question. The villain, better in Thor 1 or this movie?
Villain is better because I'm counting the villain as like the villain in the first one is not Loki, it's that big like trunk like crunchy giant monster dude.
No, it's
and eyes
giant. Loki is the villain.
And Loki.
But Loki's also in this movie. So like I don't know how to compare.
Yeah, but
that.
He's not this is his redemption arc.
No, it's not. It's like
his learning to love his brother again arc.
It's just him doing Loki shit again.
Yeah.
Yeah, but with love in his heart.
But he's learning.
No, that's in Ragnarok.
This time
Ragnarok is when he redeems.
This time he didn't stab his brother.
Well,
that's how you know it matters.
He pretended to.
Yeah, that's how you know
he
cares.
Yeah, but that was part of the plan, and Thor was in on it, so it's progress.
There's one thing I will say about this movie, is that there are less stupid human antics in this movie.
Considerably.
Thank God.
Even Darcy, who's like Jane Foster's assistant or whatever.
Intern.
Even Darcy was like, she had a few annoying bits, but like overall, it was like, okay, they're fine.
I do feel like they got a bigger hold on her.
Yeah, they're not good.
I think we just saw less of her.
That's
preferable.
Yeah, exactly.
And then for some stupid reason, the intern has an intern.
Yeah,
because that's
quirky. Just so they can make out later.
I guess. I
mean,
he
didn't have to.
No, they have to have some human romance that ends in like a kiss, because Thor has to keep things ambiguous about him and Jane at the end.
It's really dumb that they do that, because like it implies that Thor is, I guess, exiled or something, or like not.
No.
It's not clear what the end of this movie is, and that's real dumb. I really don't like.
Also, at the end of the movie, like he's going and talking to Odin, right? And he's being like, "Odin, father, you know, I've done all I can, but the one thing I would ask is my freedom. I can't be king. Let me be a protector."
Which is dumb.
And then later, like 30 seconds later, after Thor leaves, it's revealed, oh, it was actually Loki sitting on the throne disguised as Odin.
If that's the case,
Thor hadn't even left the room. All Thor had to do was like peek back over his shoulder and be like, "Ha ha!
By the way, father."
Yeah.
No, but that,
where the fuck is Odin?
Remember he, in Ragnarok, he said he like put him in an old person's home when you went to the All Sleep.
Yeah, but it's dumb.
We see that later. My assumption when I saw this when I was a kid is that I thought like, oh shit, Odin's dead.
Right, like something. You need to explain it to some degree to give it tension. As it is, it just feels like an unexplained plot hole.
It's set up.
It's bad setup.
Agreed.
That's what I'm saying.
It's movie.
I understand that they're attempting to set something up. I'm saying they're doing a bad job of it, because if they want to do that, they need to like set it up in a way where you have an idea of what's going on. Like show us that Odin is sleeping in his all-father sleepy chair or something.
But he's just right behind the throne.
Yeah,
out of view,
sure.
Covered
something
up
like
blanket.
That. I don't care what they do, how they do it. Like have Odin go back into his room and then reveal that he's Loki, and then like he's standing over the sleepy tomb, and you see Odin in there.
Yeah. Maybe they
like
want
that.
Us to think Loki could have killed.
He probably
him.
Didn't know what the fuck they were gonna do, and just left it as ambiguous as possible.
That feels like Loki.
Question though, if it is Loki, why is he all like, "As the All Father, I cannot give you permission or my blessing.
Because he's
I can't
really
even
good
tell
at
you
his
I'm
job.
Proud of you."
Because he's trying to give him, you know, what would Odin say that would make Thor believe it's Odin and feel happy about all this, even though he's exiled and can't take Loki down now.
Nah, I feel like.
What do you mean, nah?
I feel like there's plenty of reasons for Odin to be like, "You know what? I'm a hard ass, but also a loving father."
Sure, Odin might do that, but I can. This
Loki pretending
with,
to be Odin.
Yeah, this fits exactly with that.
But he still told him he's a loving father.
I feel like Loki as Odin would be trying to convince Thor even more. Like, "That's a great idea, son. I love you support you. And also, like, if you do this, you can never return home."
That's what a stupid like persuader would do. But Loki's actually kind
of
good at
he's
this.
Literally the god of it.
So I'm just supposed to take it at face value that because he's the god of persuasion or tricks or whatever, that this was the best act, best speech he could make that was the most persuasive.
Josh, he's method acting.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, it worked, so yes.
I think it's a very hard thing. Well, but then again, Thor shows that he knows when he's doing illusions sometimes, so he clearly has to put
some effort in.
Yeah, put in some of the special stuff.
Yeah, not that we understand any like what separated one situation from the other. Yeah.
One time he was very distraught, and the other time.
Let's get off of the ending of the movie and go back to the beginning.
Thor's
I think
a little bit less of a himbo in this movie too.
What's a
like
himbo?
Like a dummy, you mean?
Or like a
oh a bimbo who's
a
boy.
Bimbo, yeah, a male himbo.
Yeah,
I mean
he's learning to be a beggar king and stuff.
They were still trying to make him a actual character instead of the butt of every joke imaginable in this.
He's got like, and it's weird because I don't like this movie, but Thor kind of takes a little like uptick before he goes back down with another downtick.
I completely agree. I think that when they let Chris Hemsworth act and give him like actual moments and interesting character development, he does a really good job with it. And I think that's even true in the movies that I don't like as much, like Ragnarok and Endgame.
He's got like funny moments in this, like the part where he's talking to Loki about like, "If you betray me, I'll kill you." And then he tricks the god of tricks by like slapping the handcuffs on him and stuff. Like, he's got funny moments.
Exactly. Like, he's Chris Hemsworth is an excellent actor for Thor. Like, he is perfect in that role on every level.
Well, I feel torn because we do see a lot of Thor's character development, but remember that scene where Odin is just like has his head up his ass, where the king of the elves has already wreaked havoc on them so far, and he just Odin refuses to make a plan of any sort. It's just like, you know what, we're gonna sit here and they're gonna come and try to kill us and we're gonna fight to the death, and that's how it's gonna be.
His wife just died.
I mean, it's that, but I mean, their plans aren't really that different. The big difference is, instead of just Thor going and fighting Malekith, he's gonna have Thor and his buddies and Odin and all of Odin's men all fighting Malekith. The problem is that Malekith is going to get a surprise strike.
They just got steamrolled.
Yeah, but they didn't know these guys were coming at all.
Also,
but they're doing it on their home turf where civilians are going to die.
Yeah, which is dumb, but at the same time, like,
also
the plan that Thor does not work at all. So.
The tech level seems really inconsistent.
Tech or magic? Or both?
The same on my planet, it's the same thing.
The horseshit level is very inconsistent.
Because Asgard simultaneously has, like, the bubble shield of protection,
yes, and like teleporters.
And like magic anti-air turrets.
Right.
And then all of their soldiers are still rocking like shields
and swords.
They're very stuck into
them.
Their ways, and they're like, they have to be thematic. Like, if they were the pirate planet, they would have grappling hooks and shit. Not because they're good, but because they're the pirate planet.
Yeah, but when the Dark Elves roll up and they're like, hey, we have like implosion grenades, right, and like
guns.
Right. And your armor doesn't
guns?
Do shit.
Yeah, and the Dark Elves have like been off the grid for like since before Odin was in charge. So
right,
like 5,000 years they've just been chilling out there. So they had guns 5,000 years ago, and the Asgardians are just like, nah, fuck it, we're just gonna still go sword and shield on your asses.
Who was it that directed Justice League?
Zack Snyder.
Is he responsible for every evil world that Thor comes against? Like, does he just, like, every evil world is the Snyderverse, and that's why I can't see a damn thing there?
Everything, this is the dark and grainy world. Oh, this is the sepia tone world.
This is the dark and red world.
Asian dude's world was pretty colorful.
That wasn't an evil world.
I hate to say it, but part of that is just the quality of the television we're watching on.
Yeah.
No, that's just because you're viewing it from an angle.
The better ones do a better job with gray specifically and contrast in dark scenes.
That's true, but you shouldn't need a good TV to watch a movie. Like, you should be able to just watch it regardless.
To a point.
A color movie. If it's a black and white movie, I'll get on board with you. But I shouldn't need grays to watch my color movies that are Marvel comic book movies.
Yeah, you should be able to watch a Marvel movie on a laptop and still be able to get approximately the same experience visually that you would on a different TV.
Mm.
I will say that, like, besides color palette wise, I do like this movie visually a lot better than
in
the
what
previous
ways?
Movie.
They always make these things look pretty. Like, Asgard looks pretty solid.
I like the look of Asgard. Sure. I like the look of the other planets that we go to other than the Dark World, which is just like a wasteland, which is boring.
I feel like they balanced out Thor's armor a little bit better in this one.
I like it a lot better. I feel like the red of his cape really pops in this.
That,
like,
and
that.
It doesn't look like costume fabric anymore. It looks real fabric.
Well, and also, again,
it seems more bulky, though.
Us watching these movies, we're jumping from Thor 1 to Thor 2, but
there's
in the continuity, we're jumping from Thor 1 and there's Avengers in the middle here. And so they had some time to figure all
Tony
of that
Stark
out.
Made him a costume.
He was like, man, you really don't need to be dyeing your beard. Like, it's
and
blonde enough.
And your eyebrows, bro.
It's not a phase, Stark.
Now, the chase scene specifically is where Asgard really looks like a beautiful paradise.
Yes. I feel like my problem is that I still have the same issue I had in the previous movie of, like, Asgard doesn't have really much of an identity.
Right. I can't tell if it's like 200 yards across or just several miles.
Right.
Sure it does. It's the Sword and Shield crew. That's their whole shtick.
Exactly. They have
medieval times.
They have a shtick, but it's not a good shtick, and it's not a coherent shtick. And I don't
have
a general idea.
And it doesn't feel like
a
place where a bunch of people live.
Exactly.
Could you compare it to something else in the Avengers world that's good?
Um,
like another, like,
I feel like when you watch a Guardians of the Galaxy movie, every planet that you go to has a somewhat identity there. It feels like an actual place.
Sure. What about Ragnarok then?
Yeah, I'd even say like the like war planet that he goes to, the Colosseum place.
Yeah, it feels more lived in, and people are doing stuff other than what we're seeing.
Also, according to Ragnarok, all of Asgard's like 300 people.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And so like it does. I don't understand what Asgard is, because like on the one hand they apparently rule all the nine realms to some degree, but there's also like only 300 of them, like you said. And then on top of that, like, what are they doing? Like, why aren't some of these guys coming to help them every time they get attacked, which is every other movie? Like,
right.
There are
these
so many...
nine realms seem like they're divorced from the rest of the universe.
Yeah. Yes. It feels a lot like the way that magic and technology feel like in this movie, which is that there's overlap in overlap in the same movie, but there's no coherent strategy to how they work or what they do.
Well, I'll tell you what, the science has sure taken a page out of magic's book in this movie, because when we get to Eric Skarsgård or whatever his name is at the end of the movie, Kooky No Pants McGee,
right? Yeah.
Like, the science stuff that they've put together
is just
magic. Teleporter magic.
Yeah,
now.
Basically.
No, it's just an extension of the fact that portals in this movie are purely there for convenience, whether that be stuck into the butt crack of a mountain or in a warehouse in London.
Or in the cave of a butt crack of a mountain later.
Yeah, exactly. I think also you could say the reverse with Malekith's stuff, because, like, you said like the, you know, you this gets mixed up with your with you for Star Trek, right?
Yeah, the second one.
Into
the
Darkness.
Or whatever.
Into
Darkness. I mean, it feels like Star Trek.
But
actually, like, my feeling was Star Wars when we're like people in all these helmets when the fight at the very beginning.
Honestly, these guys could show up in either Star Trek or Star Wars, and I would feel like they would be perfect. They would fit perfectly in there, especially their ship. There's nothing.
All that was missing was like
just put
some pod racer sound effects when they're flying around.
The fucking boat wing Loki was driving, it sounded like a pod racer.
It did, 100%. It looked like a pod racer.
Yeah,
like
it smelled like one too.
I really wish that I feel like at this point Marvel was not comfortable doing anything overtly magical. I feel like they felt like they had to do like, oh, but it's maybe actually science because people will think it's dumb if we give them magic powers, even though Loki like obviously has magic powers.
It just sounds like they wrote themselves into a corner.
It does, and I think that. I think it's less that they wrote themselves into a corner. It's that they had a problem and they refused to address it and hoped it would just, you know, not be worried about. And it doesn't work because I think in a lot of ways it really limits what you can do with, say, Thor or Loki or any of these characters, because they don't have a identity for their powers.
Yeah.
When Tony Stark does stuff in his universe, we have a general idea of what he can do. He can put stuff together. He's you know, got super science powers, but we have a general idea of how that is limited and what he can do with it. With Thor, you don't have that. Magic can do anything, but his powers in particular are just like hit stuff with lightning.
No, yeah. No. I mean,
he could also like survive being hit by a star and ridiculous shit.
He can
like
make
that.
Rain stop.
He's tough man.
No,
that's his
see,
thing.
We know the limits of his powers though is if he's a bad boy, he can't do stuff anymore.
I mean, that's not even a limit.
He doesn't
when
deserve
he's not,
it.
Well, I mean, that's not even a limit in this because it's not he's not at an issue of being unworthy. Like his whole thing is
in this movie, not at all.
Yeah. And so the problem for me is that when you're putting him up against Malekith, who's also, his powers are not clearly defined at all. You've got two characters that really can't interestingly interact because we don't understand what these two are capable of.
Which is why the story of this movie is the best part of like the plot that happens in this movie is the on again, off again reconciliation that's kind of happening between Thor and Loki. Which
absolutely.
Does not get
100%.
Solidified by the end of the movie. We've established that.
Well, yeah, you can't do
but
that.
But it's interesting because it's characters who are actually saying things that matter, and you understand why there's this tension between them, and you can see as it kind of progresses, and each character like wants to reach out but has their own reservations and reasons for not.
Yeah.
And it's weird to say that the family drama in Thor is the coolest part, because all of this stuff with Malekith and the Dark Elves and the evil Aether, like, I don't... Like us, the
it
Dark
feels
Elves
like it's
are
in the
just
background.
Like, we are evil and we want to kill everything, and that's the reason that we're here.
Yeah.
And our super weapon is some evil smoke that powers up during the solstice, and you don't know what that means. Like, once it powers up, it'll kill stuff better.
But they're basically a force of nature, and that makes them boring.
Exactly. Yeah. There's no... You can't build an interesting conflict around them because they're not characters. They're not interesting to watch fight because...
Yeah, there's also only one of them that even has a name. The other guy is just Ogre.
Yeah, exactly.
And then And then, like, the interactions between our main characters and the main villains are pretty much limited to, like, hey, you shouldn't kill the entire world, but I want to kill the entire world.
Right, I don't
well,
like
I'll
you people.
Well, I'll stop you from killing the whole world.
Right.
And that's the interactions that we get. Which,
exactly.
Like, that's not a relationship. There's no back...
The problem
nothing's
is,
going on here. It's so boring.
There's and you no have chemistry between the hero and the villain either. As a yeah, result
exactly. You have a perfect opening for it too, because of what Malekith does before, like he and Thor ever really interact. He kills Thor's mom, right?
Frigga.
Well, yeah, you've got Frigga. And that's a good basis for that. It has a lot of good impact on the relationship with Loki and Thor, like you were talking about. But this is not the first time that Malekith has been at war with the Asgardians. He had a big war with Odin's with Odin's dad, essentially. You could just have him... You could put these two characters on a level and say, like, yeah, I killed your mom. Your
but that's
grandfather
basically
killed my dad.
The ice giants from the first movie. They right. actually yeah. did Again. Have chemistry as a result
yeah.
of that.
To a certain degree,
or
yeah.
even, like, have them play up the fact that he killed Thor's mom more. Because it feels like they address it once... And then after that, like...
It never yeah. feels like it,
never,
it matters
like,
again.
The big climactic scene of the movie is just, well, you're the big bad, and you're going to kill the world, so I'll stop you. And the fact that you killed my mom and did all this bad... like
I think that's mainly because his ogre is the one that actually kills him, and then Thor is there when that guy dies. So I think
well,
that's
it feels like it matters a whole lot more in Endgame, when we've got Fat Thor,
yeah.
and who goes... Timey-wimey stuff.
I do like that they play with that and give it a little bit of fun there. Like, that's
yeah.
that's a good way to handle
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and another
it gives,
movie.
It gives it a little more weight to it. But in this movie, there's just, like you said, there's no tension between these characters. They aren't really at odds in an interesting way.
No.
It's the Marvel, like, superhero movie of problem of the conflict is there's a big beam of light in the sky. Oh, no, we have to stop it. It's not the interesting conflict of two characters that are at odds and making choices to try and get a goal that neither of them can have
well,
set,
and
you know?
This happens so often where, oh, the, you know, the drama that means something in the movie is the interpersonal drama and
yeah.
like the personal growth of the main character or
yeah.
whatever, right? But Marvel keeps doing this thing where they'll do that and then instead of the, like, climactic final scene of the movie, the big crescendo of everything mm-hmm. being our hero who's having to, you know, come to terms with his family or friends or
right.
himself or whatever, mm-hmm. and he's having to go up against the force of nature or force of himself or whatever it is,
yeah.
they keep putting in a... But actually, here's this character. It's Gazingazorp the World Eater. And you really hate Gazingazorp the World Eater.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if you're making it a
that.
Character,
mm-hmm.
then I inherently want to, like, invest into that character, and
right.
you're giving me nothing to do that on.
The thing I think that is most frustrating about that.
Well, and just to throw one out there,
sure.
like, I think back to, like, the Silver Surfer,
mm-hmm.
right? A bad movie.
Yes.
But
wait, he had his own movie?
The Fantastic Four 2.
Oh, okay, I was like,
yeah.
I completely missed that.
A bad movie, but the Galactus that's coming to be the World Eater at the end of that movie
mm-hmm.
is not the, like, standard Galactus with
it's
the weird
cloud.
Pointy hat, right?
Oh,
it's like
no.
a big black cloud, which...
Does he have a face inside, like the rhino from James and the Giant Peach?
I think very briefly at one point, but mostly it's a cloud.
Mostly
Why?
It's a cloud.
Why?
Well, and hold on. Like, for people who are fans of the Galactus character...
Well, who's fans
of
Big Cloud?
Right, well, you might be like, oh man, I missed it. But the whole drama of that movie was not them versus Galactus. It was them, like, interacting with the Silver Surfer.
The Herald.
And, like, coming to terms with, like, who they were without their powers.
Right.
And, like, coming together as a team. And it, despite the movie being shit, it worked well that was the conflict. And
right.
not, like... Oh, also here comes some guy who's like, "Rah, I'm going to eat you," and
mm-hmm.
you have to, like, interact with him. It was a force of nature that
yeah.
was coming to
a doomsday clock.
Exactly.
And right. I think that there's a good setup for what you could use to build that in this movie. You got the movie opening essentially with Thor fighting on other realms, right? I think the big problem is that this doesn't feel like it has any stakes to it. Thor shows up, he wins the fight, everyone goes, you know, they take the bad guys to prison, and then Thor is, like, having a party that he can't get into because he can't go see Jane later. But he can just go see Jane. There's nothing
sick.
Stopping him.
Right.
So if you set that up differently...
apparently.
But he can just go there, like,
yes.
right now. Anytime he wants to, he
well,
can just go.
Well, not anytime. He's got to go through the mountain hole and then go through the second mountain hole.
He can just go to Bifrost.
I thought when Bifrost is back up. Hold on. Bifrost is back up.
100%.
Yes.
Yeah.
But... wasn't he talking to Jane, like, during the convergence, like, once the planetary disc move out of place, like, shit becomes more difficult?
I don't think so. I don't think that's in this movie.
Okay.
I think that like that's his explanation later, or it was something like that, or like that's what, I don't know. Either way.
He's a bad boyfriend.
He was talking to her, then he kissed her and was saying something like that.
Sure. The important
thing,
though,
just explains away the fact he was here on the planet for Avengers 1 and just didn't see her at all. He just glosses over that fact.
It's
in,
not, like,
in my world,
like Odin.
We call it the Bifrost is down. In your world, you call it being left on red. But really, they're the same thing.
Oh, he gives some explanation in that movie of like Odin doing super magic or something that like is sure. bad for
yeah,
him.
Yeah, it doesn't check out.
It doesn't. But I think the big problem of that is there's a good setup there. If you have Thor like tired, like, you know, being pushed to his limits, trying to keep these nine realms together, even though they're rebelling, you have a good setup for him towards the end of the movie where he's rejecting being king because he doesn't want to deal with that and doesn't feel like he's the right person.
Yeah.
And I think that you could lead to further interesting growth from that point later on by him rejecting it now and taking it up later.
Especially if it went in his interactions with Odin, like Odin didn't come across as just like a pissy old fusspot.
Yeah.
And instead was like, look, I know that she's important to you, but as ruler, you have to make decisions that are good for your kingdom, mm-hmm. not just what benefits you
right.
personally.
And right now people are dying across the nine
because
realms. I know
every
you
night
see your
you're
girlfriend.
Going to like stalk Earth, right? Or whatever.
Right, yeah.
And at that point it's like, okay, then it makes sense why there's this conflict between him and Odin instead of Odin just being like pissy for
yeah,
some reason.
Exactly. Right. If Thor has not spent more than like 5 minutes on Asgard at any point since Avengers and since the Bifrost has been reconnected, then this whole idea of him not going to see Jane suddenly has both weight and stakes to it. Instead, it just feels like, yeah, I guess he's just not showing up because he don't want to. I don't know.
Also,
no,
I don't know. Is he... Because, like, I forget which character. Someone makes a comment about... it might be Sif,
yeah.
who's like... You know, not if you're once you're king, you shouldn't be going and spying on Midgard all the time or whatever.
Something like that.
So is he not visiting Earth?
No, he's not.
He's not going to talk to
peeking at it with Heimdall or
yeah.
whoever.
I guess, yeah, he's going and checking on her.
Gotcha.
Heimdall needs like what are those binocular things that you do when you go to like the top of the Empire State Building?
Like a little telescopy thing.
You need that in the back of his head where you can
like
look through
quarters,
his eyes.
Put like two quarters yeah. in the back of his
you
skull.
You grab onto his little horns on his yeah. helmet.
I'm turning you, Heimdall. Hold on.
Well, that's
his head
one of the reasons.
Still, like, goes up so you yeah. can see a little bit. Yeah.
But Sif's comment about Thor doesn't make a whole lot of sense in the context that Thor hasn't actually gone to Earth. Is Heimdall just like sick and tired of this guy basically sleeping in his little hut?
Well, it's that. And then on top of that, like there's supposedly like this tension between Thor and Sif about like Sif wanting to bang him and like yeah. Odin wanting him to get with Sif.
Yeah.
But it's not really there. Like there's no right. chemistry
That's,
between
I was
these
wondering
two characters.
Why
Sif
they
needs to
played
work
that
on her
down
bedroom
so much.
Eyes.
Yeah. I feel like you need to have either these characters interact more or you need to have Sif and Natalie Portman interact more so that you can get some interesting tension there at least. Something for
alive?
This character to do.
Hmm? Currently, continuity-wise?
Sif?
Yeah.
I don't
I
think
she,
so.
I think
she
the
dies.
Whole Rat Pack dies.
I knew yeah. the vast majority of them did, but yeah, I could I not
I'm
tell
I'm going to look
you.
It up.
But the other Rat Pack, I think that along with Sif, they could have made their characters more interesting by emphasizing that they were having to go and do things in Thor's stead.
Yes.
Because he was basically camped out in...
You're talking about like the English dude and the Asian guy and the big Scottish beardy
yeah.
man.
Yeah.
Like his Thor's crew.
Yeah, the exactly. rainbow crew.
Yeah, sure.
Sif is still alive. She apparently died in the snap but came back.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
But as is, it just seems like they're... I've been playing a lot of Elden Ring lately.
Yeah.
And so... They just seem like, oh, I'm in a situation now where I need my crew. I'm going to ring my little bell and out they pop out of the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what do they accomplish other than backgrounds? Like, they have no unique abilities.
They
that's
do
my
help
problem.
Weapons.
They do help him get out of Asgard. Like, that's there at least. But they're so unimportant that they drop off the Asian dude at the very beginning and he just gets, like, one look
yeah,
at what's
happening
at the end.
Yeah, he looks over. He doesn't say anything. He's like, huh.
Exactly. It's these characters are just bloat. Sif at least theoretically has a purpose.
Yes.
You could do interesting things, I think, with his crew if you had them sitting around.
Crew, yeah.
Yeah, you could just, all you need to do is have them be like his sounding board of like, hey guys, I'm trying to talk to Odin. I don't think we're doing the right thing as far as all, like trying to keep all these realms together and how we're handling that.
Maybe they could
what
have contributed to the plan that he winds up coming up with.
Yeah.
That, you know, is
maybe
treason.
They could also seem like actual friends. Like maybe they give him differing pieces of advice.
Exactly.
Where
what?
Some of them are like, hey, man, like, you've known Sif your whole life. Like, you guys are obviously close. You guys would make a great pair. She'd be an excellent queen. Like, it's maybe, a match made in heaven.
She's super hot. Maybe just bang her a couple times and see what happens. Like, it, you'll get over this human that will die in
I'm
what
sure
is the equivalent of a
decade. I'm sure they have some, like, magic soup that she can drink to make her live longer.
I mean, I don't doubt that
and
that is
both
sides. Somewhere.
And you got one of the other buds who's like, nah, man, like, you know what? You're too much of a free spirit. King life ain't for you, dude.
Right. Don't marry at all. Get them both.
Oh, my gosh.
And one of them would just be like, no, this is all dumb.
Yeah.
Go away.
Women are dumb.
Women are dumb.
We don't need women, bro. Just come hang with me. Get some games.
I think there's like
two or three characters in this movie that feel like characters. And that's a, because it's
so
Thor, Loki, and Jane.
And there's so many characters, just in general.
There's so many characters. And Jane also just like, as soon as she gets the ether, the red goop inside mm-hmm. of her, it's like,
she
doesn't
plot
do anything for the rest of the movie.
Like, look, you've referenced the ether, which is like the hinge this entire movie
the
circles
of the
around.
Movie, yeah.
Are his friends all just humans from other realms, or are they like
no.
demigods and gods?
It's not clear.
Because it bothers like, me that they are less capable than... They are as capable as, like, the interns.
Right, yeah. Like, they're Thor's interns. That's yeah. what
wow.
they are.
I don't
exactly.
like that Thor...
That is a harsh criticism.
I mean, all of Thor's, like... most of the humans Thor hangs out with fights bigger than his, like, god friends, and that bothers me. They have no, like, unique abilities or weapons or anything.
Right. I really think that for this movie, you need to cut out the people on Earth. I kind of like what they do with Stellar Skateboard or whatever his name is. But, like, get him and the interns out. Just have Jane... interact, like, tell this movie through Jane's perspective, essentially.
What you
if
call
you do,
him?
Or Skateboard.
Wasn't that the name of one of my D&D characters in your campaign?
It might have been. I feel like it definitely could have been. But, like, if this movie is told from Jane's perspective, she's trying to navigate Asgard as she has this time limit on her from this red shit
yeah,
in her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then
Which
the
then
entire
that's the other thing,
thing,
too, is they, like, they mention a time limit, like, once. Like, oh, once the...
She's
the,
dying or something.
Once the planets align, it's going to be real bad.
Right. She falls
yeah,
down.
She's got magic cancer.
Yeah, but they, they're not, like... We don't, there's no movie version of like a ticking time,
well,
like a clock ticking down.
Exactly, because they get it out of her long before it becomes an issue, which is so dumb.
I mean,
so
she
dumb.
Was sleepy for a long time.
Exactly, she's sleepy for a while. That's the yeah. worst
she's
of it.
She's sleepy for the rest of the damn movie.
I think if you
Me
have
too.
This movie open with her getting the red goop, then going to Asgard and her navigating this entire thing where like Thor is trying to get them to take her to this to other place to try and help her or at least lure this guy out. Odin wants her there for this reason. You've got Sif on the wings like, hey, maybe if we get her killed, like, you know, I can become a thing with Thor. That'll be a thing. You've got Loki in the background doing his thing. There's a lot of stuff that you could bring together if you just keep this to a location and keep it all on Asgard. And then you can even get the bonus thing of building out Asgard as a place so that we have a real sense of identity there.
Mm. How interesting would it be if instead of Jane accidentally getting teleported to the portal place and she's just like peeking up over a rock and then the ether like snakes its way into her.
Yeah. Yeah.
If she directly saw the ether like impacting the things that went through the portal.
Mm-hmm.
And she saw, like, leave, like, not the Bifrost symbol, but little,
maybe
like, Asgard
something.
Symbols. And then she's like, I've been missing Thor so bad, I'm going to go
she's
get this.
She's thirsting hard.
Yeah, she goes and intentionally gets the ether and then jumps through the portal trying to get to Asgard.
That would, that would have her have a flaw, and flaws are bad.
Well, flaws are, yeah, exactly.
That would have her take some action, and her taking actions are bad in this
that
movie,
too. Yeah.
Apparently.
What about having actions taking upon her? That's all right, though.
Well,
like,
you know.
Like them just taking her to Asgard, sucking the evil juices out, and then popping her on the back of a ship to hang out for a while.
Yes.
It's painfully...
Very boring.
It's painfully boring because none of these characters are making interesting choices. And it's what you just brought up just now. Like, that is a great idea to have her intentionally grab this stuff so that she can try to get to Thor. That tells you a lot about her.
Because that's something we already know about her character.
Yeah.
That doesn't impact her character at all, except that when she sees Thor, she's like, oh, boy, I missed you.
Yeah.
And that's like, okay, cool.
I'm gonna
well,
be
figured.
I'm going to be the worst date ever to this random guy named Richard who I'm going to string along for no reason. Like, that guy
she
really gets a
like,
raw deal.
She doesn't even, like, string him along.
She does she's later just... in the movie. She's like, yeah, just stay on the phone. I'm
oh,
totally
yeah.
not going to tell you anything.
For no reason.
You know, another yeah. angle they could have explored would have been that while Jane has the ether, she also has superpowers.
Exactly.
But yeah. every time she uses it, it basically takes a year off her life.
Yeah, lots of options
I'd
there.
Be down.
You can really make that work really, really well.
Because any time that someone comes and, like, touches her, unless they're Thor.
Unless they're Thor.
When she's got the ether, it's like a big old ether explosion, and they all go. Because, and they say this, because the ether is trying to defend itself.
Yeah.
Why is it not trying to defend itself against Thor?
Doesn't seem as a threat. Because she doesn't seem as a threat at all. It would be, like, you could do interesting stuff with
based
that.
Based on her.
That's my assumption.
So it's like a
I don't know.
But did she assume that the Asgardian nurse she was chatting it up with was a threat?
Didn't know her. Like, maybe that's what it is. Like, maybe that's what it is. That's
she
the best explanation I have.
She doesn't believe in pseudoscience magic.
I think you could do interesting stuff with that as an idea. That would really work.
What's a natural remedy for having ether invaded your body?
Oh, crystals man. All over your
that
body.
That could be another...
sucking out.
All these crystals.
Lavender in your socks.
That could be another really fun angle that they could have taken this. Burnt is sage. Like, you have a scientist in a magical world who is trying to explain all this shit.
Like, I mean, she was like offhandedly
saying
all of this.
But that's taking the curtain completely back.
The curtain's already back.
Yeah.
The curtain's back when she was like, "What's the? You're doing a soul link. You mean quantum field theory?"
Yeah.
And she's like, "Yes, it is quantum field theory." And she's like, "Ah ha ha! Science."
Yeah, but powered by magic. It's artificery or artificery.
Yeah.
Check it.
I want her to do like, I'm figuring out the world around me here in Asgard according to science instead of magic.
Mm-hmm.
But she's got like a 6-year-old's equivalent.
Exactly.
Like, understanding, because so much of magic is just science that's progressed way beyond wherever she is.
Sure, yeah. There's a lot of... There's just so many... Okay.
I mean, that has nothing to do with the story that's here.
That could be part of the story.
Exactly. Like, the problem is that this movie barely has a story at all. The only part of this movie that is actually a story is Loki inadvertently causing his mother's death, Thor being unable to prevent it, and the two of them trying to deal with that and deal with each other's relationship as brothers because they clearly still care about each other to some degree. Like, they're still both furious with each other for what they've done.
My favorite line of the movie is when they start fighting as they're going through the dark world or whatever it is, and they have that brief moment where Thor's like, "Don't disrespect mother," or whatever, and Loki's like, "Yeah, but you know, she would expect us to fight." And they have a moment where they both like have a genuine laugh, like remembering their mom. Mm-hmm. And then Thor turns away, like, "I wish I could trust you." And Loki almost looks a little guilty for a second.
Exactly.
Like, I wish you could trust me
rage.
Too.
Right.
And he's like, "No, trust is for the weak." Like,
no, he says, "Trust my rage."
Exactly.
Yeah, which is that's a great line. Yeah. Like, that is an excellent line. Mm. And I think it really speaks to Hiddleston as an actor that, like, when he pretend turns on Thor at the end, it still feels genuine.
Yeah, I would believe it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I was in this in
Jane
this viewing before I remembered what happens. I was taken in by that.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was a genuine direction they might take Loki.
I thought he actually stabbed him. Mm-hmm. I didn't think he actually cut his hand off.
Yeah, that could work. And that would be within his character. I kind of wish that's
what happened. My brother knows I love snakes.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, at the end of the day, this movie is dull because they didn't tell a very good story with it. They have an excellent piece in the middle.
Well... But who has a better story than Jane the Broken?
Than Jane the Boring.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. My least favorite part of this movie is just the whole, like, main plot line of Malekith and and the ether, and, like, there's just nothing interesting
there. Is ether normally spelled like that? A-E?
I think it's a different meaning.
That's what I was wondering. What is the difference between that and...
Ether? I don't know. You should look it up while we're going.
But, I don't do that.
But, like, that, just all of it was just so uninspired and boring.
Mm.
Even, like, the design of the villains. I liked the design of the lackeys, like the stormtrooper-esque dark elves. Like, they had a cool, kind of, like,
they
weird
They looked like they
mask.
Had masks that were out of the Power Rangers.
Yeah, it did.
But just with a higher budget.
And I honestly liked their ships.
Yeah, I did too.
I think the ships were a cool design. But the biggest bad of them all, Malekith, and the ether itself, both were just super letdowns. Like,
his henchman was even, like, way more interesting as a villain than Malekith was. Yeah,
I think
like
they knew
guy.
That.
Yeah,
his,
exactly. He was more threatening. He did more in the plot. Like, he's just better.
Yes,
I think they knew that his design was wimpy because they blasted half of his face off to give him a different look. And then after like 15 minutes of that, he became bigger and darker.
Well, looking at the versions of that I saw of the comic character,
the
like
comic
they were making it more and
like
more close to that.
It has like the two-faced thing going on. So
what didn't they have pretty much these exact same dark elves in the second Hellboy movie?
No, they're different. They're a little different.
Are you sure? Aren't they just pale guys with white ponytails?
I mean, kind of, yeah, but they're a little different.
All right.
So yeah, main storyline is my least favorite. My favorite part, as I've said, is once Thor has rescued Loki, or not rescued, but let him out of prison, mm-hmm. so that they can like work together to avenge their mother. Like just the small little window into their relationship as they're coming to terms with like, Loki, you've been really shitty, and Thor, you keep catching Loki, and he's mad about it, but you guys still love each other, mm-hmm. and like there's this brotherly dynamic going yeah. here as they're like figuring out their relationship as they're going on. Like it's interesting, and mm-hmm. I'm engaged in that moment where I wasn't engaged in any of the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
The movie's bad. It was a struggle to stay awake, and I tried really hard, but probably missed about 5% of this movie just due to dozing. But I don't really think I missed anything. It's bad, and I give it like 1 out of 5 drab.
That's so brutal.
Like drab, colorless smears of an environment.
You've given so much worse movies like such better ratings. But I understand where you're coming from. Like I think that the biggest issue with this movie is the lost potential. There, Thor is a fascinating character, and I like this version of Thor so much better than the jokey asshole we get in the future. Or well, not jokey asshole, but like the butt of the joke of future movies. In Ragnarok, in Infinity War, well, not so much in Infinity War. Infinity War, this guy comes back a little bit, but they immediately turn that around with Endgame. They're just not doing a good job of making his character fun without leaning extremely hard on comedy, which Chris Hemsworth does extremely well. It's not an issue with him. He's a great actor in this part, but at the end of the day, they just don't know how to write Thor, and so they...
Well, they don't know how to write the Thor you want.
Well, they don't know.
Jokey Thor is fine,
I guess. How but old even that Thor has issues.
Like,
how many years does the character have on him canonically?
Like, how old is Thor?
Like yeah. thousands, like
thousands.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, thousands of years. Because he's still the same Thor that was there, like inspiring original Norse myths. Which I would love to see. Like, how did this? I don't see this guy inspiring those myths at all. That doesn't fit for me in any way. But anyway, my least favorite part of this movie is honestly the wasted potential. Because I can see where you could take this movie and really hone in on the things that it does already and make them all work towards the purpose that it wants to do, which is the final climax with Thor, where he's saying, like, I'm not fit to be king, I shouldn't be, which is a good journey from his first movie where he wanted to be but was clearly unworthy. In this, he understands his unworthiness, so then you can go to the third final step of, I am now becoming the person who could be king. Like, that's a good three-part journey for a character. My favorite part of this movie, I want to give it the same thing that Josh does. If I was just if he hadn't said that, I would. So instead, I'll point out specifically Tom Hiddleston as Loki just kills it in this part. Every scene that he's in is fun and interesting, and he is doing interesting things to cause conflict, which is what Loki as a character does.
Did you watch the Loki series?
Yeah, it's good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I like it.
I've been meaning to.
He has an excellent way of always making you feel like he could betray you at any second, because and that gives him a interesting...
He's the wild card.
Yeah, it makes him interesting, like, in any scene that he's in.
He's like grimy charming.
Exactly, yes.
Like what charming?
Like grimy charming.
He always looks like he needs a shower.
Yeah, he could be a good swashbuckler himself.
Yeah, not dirty, but like... underhanded and
a card player.
He definitely rises to the occasion more so than any other actor in this movie did.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And specifically, I think it's because he's given really good material to work with. All of his scenes, he's either like with family members that he has beef with, or he is taking down the guy who killed his mom, essentially. Like he's got the best to work with, and he really kills it there. Especially the scene where he's talking to his mom that we didn't talk about. Like, I think that's a really great scene. And when he like gets the reaction of her dying, and he kind of calmly gets up and then like blows the stuff across the thing. But then he's throwing up the illusion later when Thor gets there to like show that he hasn't. Because there's so many little complicated details whenever Loki is on screen that work so well and make him so fun to watch.
He's such a like Panic at the Disco character.
Yeah,
he's such
What's
a My Chemical
mean?
Romance.
Okay, I'm starting to see what you're picking up.
Yeah, he's such an angsty teen.
he's what angsty teens wish they were,
aspire to be.
Yeah, exactly.
It's what they want to grow up into.
Uh huh. So I wish I could give this movie a higher rating, but it's a bad movie.
0 out of 5.
No, not even close to that. This movie gets two brothers that need to reconcile out of five. It has a lot of potential. It has a lot of great actors trying to do their best in it, but the MCU writing just does not bring it to their level.
You don't give it bonus points based on potential. It's a shit movie.
No, I'm not giving it bonus points on potential. I'm not giving it all the five it could have had if it had gotten
if
that
it
potential.
Reached that potential.
Yeah, if it
no, you
got to
punish
potential.
It for not achieving its potential.
Yeah, kick
like
in
a
the
good
dirt.
Father.
Yeah.
I think that there are...
you can't movie, marry the woman you love, movie.
This movie has...
4-2 of the Dark World. You get back here and be king right now.
Why this don't they just let him have his Rumspringa?
I don't know. She's going to be dead in like 15 minutes their time. Just let him bang her for a few years and then get over it and Sif will still be there.
I don't think it's about getting his dick wet. I think he likes her, Rick.
Okay, let him like her for like 15 minutes and then she'll be
to
dead.
To be fair... the kingdom does explode way before any of that even matters.
Yeah, right. That's,
it would have been
that's
fine.
Other yeah. stuff that they are completely fucking up. Anyway.
Brian, what yeah. do you think
Brian,
of the
what
movie?
Do you think of the movie?
Pretty much the same thing. My least favorite part is...
how boring it is.
Well, of definitely that, but since everything else has already been said, just that it's not Sweeting, who'd you say it was that does Justice League?
Snyder.
Yeah, it's too Snydery. I'm tired of him darkening everything up, and now they're doing
just,
it too.
Just like visually it's too Zack
yes.
Snydery?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I wouldn't say it's Zack Snyder in that like
any
thematically it has a
like
super
that, yeah.
dark
no.
tone.
No.
But visually it sure does.
Yes. Yeah. My favorite part is just, I feel like they really up their... dialogue between all characters in this compared to the last one.
Definitely.
Sure.
Definitely.
It's because it's less of the annoying humans.
Yeah.
And there's stuff
and
to
even
actually
they
do
are like
movie.
A little beggar. Still not great, but I don't hate them as much as the first one.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not just spinning its wheels the entire movie.
Yes.
They're at least moving forward even though the direction they go is dumb.
I remember hating this movie and now I just don't care about this movie, so I guess
that's
I,
a step up.
I give it a also a 2 out of 5 ambiguous Infinity Stones.
Okay, right. How would you feel about it if you had driven yourself all the way to the movie theater and stood in line for a ticket and paid $13 for this?
I might have liked it better because I might actually be able to see stuff.
I would have liked it worse because I'm like, I did all, I put the effort in to come here and see this and spent the money for it and this
yeah,
is what I got.
That's
I think
fair.
If I saw it by myself, I would be pissed, but if I was with a group, that group think would take over where it's just like
yeah.
movie entertain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could definitely see that.
You're relating it to this, the good time that you had while it was there.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah.
I agree with you guys pretty much across the board. For myself, I'll say that my favorite part about this film is when Thor goes rogue. I hate that Odin is so boring in that context, but Chris Hemsworth, I feel like he does hit the best acting of the entire movie in those scenes where they're scheming. And I agree, there's a lot of potential there that they could have taken advantage of, but that's where we have the most chemistry mm-hmm. between Thor and Loki, and I enjoyed that the most.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the chase scene, which I know is just spectacle and no substance, but damn, it did look
yeah.
really
it
pretty.
It did, yeah. That was a cool scene.
It did feel like the whole All-Father like not being down with their playing was purely fabricated to get Loki out of jail.
Sure.
Yeah.
My least favorite thing... I agree with what you guys have said. I'm just going to say something different and yes. emphasize that the ether and the dark elves mm-hmm. are really lame.
Yes.
I got Lord of the Rings vibes at times, whereas like the ether is basically the ring reaching out to the Malk man.
Yeah.
Effectively. Malk man. And it's just what this feels like is that this is lore they essentially took out of the Silmarillion
mm-hmm.
when it really didn't deserve to have time on the big screen.
Yeah.
This is good lore. This makes for a pretty shitty movie.
Yeah.
One time, Malekith got the ether and did about 15 minutes worth of damage with it before we stopped. The
yeah.
end.
Yeah. Well, he also made an invincible, immortal sidekick who can only be killed by the one weapon that they all carry.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, forces of nature are just boring.
Yeah.
With that being said, I'm going to give this... I'm going to say 1.5 banana balls out of 5.
All right.
Was there a banana ball in this? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Fucking little human girl talked about it.
Huh? I don't know.
On the date with Richard, Didn't she say something? Is that when she brings
That's
the
when she said
balls?
Banana balls.
Okay. I don't know why.
It stood out
remember,
to me.
I just remember her saying sea bass.
No, that was Nagali right. the Broken.
Yeah.
Nagali the Broken. Gosh. If you want to listen to our other Thor episodes, including our first impressions we did of Ragnarok way back in the day. You can find those on our website, opinionatedpodcast.com. Additionally, we're on social media at OpinionCast on Twitter and OpinionatedPodcast on Facebook. Feel free to reach out to us at our email address, opinionatedmoviereviews@gmail.com. We always love hearing from you guys, whether it's your thoughts on our episodes or suggestions for what we should watch in the future. If you get a chance, please leave us a rating on iTunes and follow us on Spotify. Between that and you sharing us with your friends, it's the best way we have of getting out to new listeners. We always appreciate you guys listening, and until next time,
we're opinionated.
Thanks for listening.